Thanks for joining A&M Conversation With, a podcast series featuring Alvarez and Marsal leaders discussing the trends impacting businesses today. In this edition of A&M Conversation With, Steve Goldstein, a senior advisor at A&M and author of Why Are There Snowblowers in Miami, sits down with Tim Keneally, managing director of the Private Equity Services Group, in an ongoing series to discuss his five principles of engagement. Today, they will be talking about connecting. Interacting with employees and customers on a regular basis is the key to success.
Hi, Tim. Thanks so much for joining us on this episode for Connecting.
Thanks, Steve.
Great. Let's get right into it. So, Tim, how do you quickly establish a relationship with your clients that engenders trust and allows you to have them open up to you as soon as you start the project?
I think it's important to reassure the client that they are experts in the industry, and our job is to learn as much from them about their business as well as them learning from us, given our functional experience.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Roughly a year ago, we were working with a company that has been around for 105 years and is a very successful global company. In our first meeting, we gained immediate credibility by ensuring the management team understood that we were not going to tell them how to run a packaging company better, but rather we were going to work together to combine the exceptional industry experience along with our functional experts to look at ways to reduce the complexity in their business. This enabled them to collectively roll up our sleeves and their sleeves to solve a complex business problem.
So that's an interesting story. So now that you've created a good work environment, how do you start to gain credibility very quickly?
Getting credibility quickly is ensuring that we start by doing our homework before we enter the discussion to learn what we can about their situation, as well as formulating the kind of questions to ask that will enable us to uncover and examine their unique situation most productively. By doing that, it encourages us to look at their point of view, focusing on our point of view to get a collective point of view.
Understand. What's your approach for dealing with the client's customers? Because obviously, you know, they have a view of what the situation is, but sometimes you really have to talk to the ultimate customer themselves to get a more fuller sense of what the issues are. How do you do that?
Yeah, in this case, I think it's important to quickly develop a fact-based deep understanding of the customer demographics, behaviors, and account segmentation in terms of activity required to serve them, costs, current and historic profitability and potential growth or retraction, and a competitive alliance as well as a fact-based and deep understanding of the competitive landscape. Once this groundwork is accomplished, it is important to have open communications with the customers about the company's desire to improve and become more meaningful to the client and our role in assisting the achievement of that goal. This is often more effective if we can defer to customer scorecards or KPIs, but in some cases those don't exist and you have to create them from scratch.
Does that really get to hearing the voice of the customer? How much of that is sort of fact-based and data-rich versus really getting a real, you know, qualitative sense from the customer's voice?
Well, I think it's important to start with the fact-based, but it's definitely that there's a need to get the qualitative assessment by reaching out to the customers as well.
Okay, how often do you feel that they... I mean, what's your sense about when you talk to clients, what their handle is on customer issues? In other words, how close are they to what's really going on with customers? Or said another way, after you do your work, are they surprised by what you tell them you've discovered?
A majority of the time, the management team has a good handle on some of the customer segments, concerns, or issues, but often they have not fully decomposed the situation to fully appreciate the underlying drivers of those concerns and issues. Most times, those that go in with a negative view towards what would this third-party approach take, those are the ones that are the most surprised.
You know, one of the things that I've found is that all of these companies now have very sophisticated scorecards and dashboards. And, you know, they know these numbers cold. But to what extent do you think they almost become so immersed in the numbers that they don't reach out for the qualitative dimensions of what's going on with customers because they feel that they've they've got it fully covered through the dashboards and scorecards?
Yeah, I would say the two things on the scorecards. So first off, it is a fact-based way of having the conversation, but more importantly, you have to understand the data and where it's derived from. We typically find that the scorecards aren't telling the full picture, and it's better to start talking about the general status of the customer and the relationship, then see what the data is telling us, and then to determine whether that scorecard is really telling the true story. And if not, you need to actually start going out, to your point, and getting more starting with a qualitative assessment.
Can you give us an example of some of the findings you've gotten from doing this that were not obvious from just looking at the scorecard?
Yeah, so some examples was a large engine manufacturer. We had an example where we had a significantly bad rating as it relates to delivery performance and quality performance. And it ends up that the way the metrics were set up in the system, because we weren't having line downs at the factory, the way the metrics were set up in the system was in a way to pull from the data pull when it was received from the trucking company. So that was off by 48 hours. So every delivery was considered late or early, thereby giving you data that was not correct. And once it was fought, we came down to the realization that the metrics weren't telling the true story, which is we were shipping on time.
Oh, that's interesting. So you actually were on time, but the data said you were late.
That's correct.
Yeah, I had exactly the opposite experience where they thought they were on time and they were late.
Great. I think my case is better than yours.
No question. But in both cases, it wasn't, providing the full picture. One of the big questions that clients have is, they become reliant on us, and they like the fact that when we're there, we help them lead a lot of these processes. How do you help the leadership team improve their interactions with both of these constituencies after you leave the project, or after the project is completed?
First and foremost, that leadership team needs to learn to be comfortable being fully transparent with each other and using facts to drive issue identification and resolution. When they don't use the facts, that's typically where you get the finger pointing across one another and not constructive environment for the leadership team. Once they have those facts and greater clarity to explain to each other or to the PE sponsor which levers of change are required to be addressed and when and by how much and by whom, that will set the output metrics for leading indicator metrics and the means to measure progress against them. This ties it all back to the PE sponsors as well as the other constituents.
What's your sense about what the appropriate cadence is around these kinds of communications that you recommend to them they conduct when they have these discussions?
Well, we feel it's holding frequent communications within and across these constituencies is important, but also want to make sure that this is a very focused discussion, whether it's by using the scorecard you talked about or monthly reporting. But make sure that you focus on the exceptions, not just flipping pages in a deck. It's very important to ensure that everybody's time is important and you're not just, I'll call it, turning pages in the deck. You're focusing on the exceptions and steering more like a steering committee type approach towards steering the progress versus just reporting the obvious.
Well, this has been great. Tim, I really want to thank you for spending the time with us on this episode and really appreciate your participation. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Steve.
For our listeners, for more information, visit our homepage at alvarezandmarsal.com and connect with us on LinkedIn at Alvarez and Marsal.